Blog Talk Radio.
You okay? Who is she?
Sudan.
Well, maybe she was a bathroom. I don't know.
And Doug? Oh, does she leave? Did Suzanne leave?
Pardon?
Did Suzanne leave?
No.
Oh, she's coming back?
I know she is, but soon.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It was hard for me. I don't know. It was hard for me to touch this subject because this is a really serious subject, and I started to investigate it, and I found that there were a lot of people out there that are dealing with loneliness and social isolation. So that's why I wanted to kind of like put it together today so that we could talk a little bit about it. And I have to go and do something right now, and then I'll be right there, okay? So let's just talk about who's here today. Doug, can you lead us? And talk about we have one of our veterans here who's going to open up the meeting and introduce everybody. I'll say your name. Okay, can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go.
One thing.
You're a player.
Up there. I just left.
Wow. Yeah, Jackie, I'm gonna hang up, okay, sweetie?
I didn't tell you.
And you're gonna get Steve on the line, right? I'm gonna hang up, and you're gonna get Steve on the line. And then I believe she sent that text in order to conference in, and that's how you get on the line. Okay.
Here's the number.
Here's the number. Excuse me. She can't. No. Okay, we're gonna call you. We're gonna call you on the phone right now. Okay.
She's just.
Oh, we're on live right now. So here's the phone number. See the phone number here, Melody. Okay, and it's 678. Is that right? 678. See? Can you put it in? 678. Mm-hmm. And then place guest in. Yeah. Don't put her in the screening room. Just dial. Just put her number in. It's just that simple.
Her phone number?
Yeah, her phone number. No, she's giving it to you.
Oh, 934. Okay, I got it, honey. Wait.
Nope. Okay, excuse me, baby.
Let me just get over there so I can click in. I see what she's talking about now. The 678 is your phone number. Okay, hold on.
Your
number.
934-294. I moved it.
Okay, I think it's calling you.
It's a right.
Okay, 347 number?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so you're in here. So
okay, and you have to hang up your line so that I can call Steve.
I guess I can understand that why you mean by me. You know.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you.
Okay, hang up the other line so that I can call Steve.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
You know what I have experienced? Well, I have some black mother and sister.
Huh?
And I'm a young girl. And as time went by, they all seemed to want to break down.
8-4-3-3-2-8.
40. And my mother was in the family at 12 and through the universe and all that. She just wanted to have some space to herself after being with a lot of people like that. So I kind of feel the same way that I like to do these, coming to her, I like to do advanced things, but then when I go home, and I'm okay with that. I need that.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah.
Okay, we have Steve.
Okay. Hi, Steve. Nice to hear from you.
Hi, yeah.
They are doing something else, and they will get to you in a moment. I'm just trying to get somebody else on the line, okay? Hang on.
I'm calling people so we can start on, okay?
I think it's something that your environment can cause you to have expectations.
Your environment causes you to have expectations that people will always be around.
Can you guys still hear me?
Right. Yes, I'm fine.
Okay.
Okay. So why do we always think that everybody has to be our friend? I mean, we do that even with kids. We do that. You know, that I'm lonely and I want you to be my friend.
Okay, let me unmute you.
You know, and we don't say it like that, but we feel it inside of us. We want people to be around us. And as we grow older, it's almost like are we revisiting our childhood fears again? That people are not going to like us on the playground? You know, what is it that, here was my question to Suzanne, and all of you actually, what is it that somebody could live in the hub of like New York City in Los Angeles, okay? Because we talk a lot about people being lonely and the lack of resources, the lack of access to resources, right, at the differently abled network meeting. But what I'm wondering is that when you're right in the middle of the hub and all of these busy people are all around you, all these busy people, how can we still be lonely? How can we still start isolating ourselves, okay? And we start doing that. What is that all about? Even when, and I'll just add this on, even when we have family around us, that tell us they love us and they like us, and we still feel lonely. What is that? Any comment on that?
If people aren't listening to what, taking the time to listen to what is important to that person at time, if they could go in and visit with somebody and not really talk with them and listen to them.
Can you hear us there on those people on the line there? Thank you. You did a wonderful job. Thank you. Okay. Can you hear us on the line right there? Everybody?
Yes, I can hear you guys just fine.
Okay, and how about
Tom? Can you hear well?
Tom, are you there?
Tom didn't pick up.
Oh, Tom didn't pick up.
I have Steve.
She has Steve. That's
okay, and Steve is right here?
Yes.
Okay. No. Oh, she has Steve on the line. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Apple.
Hi. Hi. Well, I hope you can hear us. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
If not, let me put on another. Here we go. Okay. Ooh, that's really loud. Okay, because my voice just filters. The question is that we're answering right now is, welcome to the Differently Abled Network meeting, by the way. We're here in Mesa, Arizona at the Interfaith Community Spiritual Center, and we're having a Differently Abled Network meeting, and the purpose of our meeting is that we get together and support each other, okay? And lately, we support each other in a lot of different things, not only in housing resources, in school and work resources, but emotional support, okay? And that's what Differently Abled Network was designed to do. And so our question today, what we're talking about is social isolation and loneliness and where it starts and how we can help to understand it a little bit more. So here's the question that I'm posing to one of our guests here, Suzanne, and a few others here, Miriam and Cindy Green, and we have Doug Reynolds here, one of our veterans. We have another veteran on the line right now, Steve West. But I want to, and Jacqueline Lamar is online, and I believe there's a Tom Baker. Thank you all for joining us today on the Differently Abled Network line. Here's the question. Ready? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to quit this mission, so I got to have some response back here. The question is, do you remember? If you're in the hub of a big city, urban, New York, Los Angeles, you've got all these resources all around you. What is it that stops us and creates this isolation right in the middle?
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record, press 3. For more options, press 4.
Right now,
to cancel, press star.
It's because our technology is one that really needs help. And so if anybody's out there that can volunteer, and I say this almost every show we have, anybody that's out there that can volunteer and do some of our technical stuff, Okay, it doesn't have to be elderly, right? You know, so what is that? Why don't they knock on the door and say, I'm lonely?
Right. Oh, reaching
who
out.
Who the heck is going to do that?
Right.
Who's going to knock on the door and say, I'm lonely? What do people usually do to show that they're lonely? We know it after they pass, after they commit suicide.
Right.
Okay. Not, I don't like to say commit suicide, death by suicide. So, and we all can look back and we say, oh, yeah, I remember she needed that and she called me and she wanted to do that. Or he needed me to go somewhere with him and I wish I had gone that place with him because maybe I would have avoided him feeling so lonely and so isolated, like he just didn't want to live here anymore. Okay? Anybody ever run across anything like that? So we can get to the hub of what it is that causes people to, here it is, psychologically and spiritually disconnect. In the midst of a crowd of people, nobody likes me.
I think, yeah, nobody, I would be a burden on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worthy.
A lot of
things like that.
People say, I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy. What, you know, if I call somebody, maybe I'll be bothering them.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Very common.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't want to bother you. And then the person says on the other phone, on the other side of the phone, they say, but you're not bothering me. It's okay for you to call me. What happens? What happens sometimes when people say that? Is that the other person, the person that receives that message, does not believe.
Right.
Does not believe them, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I don't believe that I'm not bothering you, okay? So I'm going to go back. When I hang up the phone from you, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I feel, but I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. Because in my mind, nobody has ever really listened
right.
to what's really going on with me. Could that be it? That nobody's really ever listened?
In a large family.
Speak up a little bit.
If you're in a large family,
uh-huh.
it's very difficult to get people to listen to the other children. And so it's a pecking order.
Oh, you're talking about the parents themselves, the way we're raised with our parents. They don't spend enough time with us.
I'm talking about a family, a large family of kids.
You get lost in the
group. Because basically the parents are doing what they need to be doing, but then the kids are close enough most of the time. Some of them are just 10 months apart,
right.
that the other person is already going along with their life, and so they are saying, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so it becomes that, and it's then there's somebody else that comes after them, then they go, you know.
Like the teachers?
Well,
yeah.
I
okay.
don't think they're
Susanna, what's your comment? How do you think this could happen? And if you have any of your own personal experiences that you want to share with us today, feel free. And I wish I could get this microphone in a different place. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Where is it? I can't see where it is. Okay, excuse me. I've been too far.
Oh, I see it's close.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Is that what it is? Okay. There we go. If we can help her, I would love to get your comments, Susanna. And then I'm going to come back to you on that, Doug. Okay. Okay.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about how at our root, there's two emotions. There's love and there's fear.
Loving what?
There's love and there's fear. And when things aren't going well, we're probably in a place of fear. So I think sometimes to go back to your original question, why do we feel alone when we're in a hub of activity or there are people around us? I think sometimes it's a matter of trying to protect ourselves, feeling vulnerable, and not wanting other people to see that, because maybe we perceive that as a negative quality in ourselves. Well, I don't want people to see that I'm hurting or that I'm lonely or that I need help, because I want to present the face of the world that, you know, I'm okay and I'm strong and I can.
And you look great.
Things.
Yeah, we look great, but inside of us, we're dealing with this something inside of us, maybe from what Miriam is saying, from the childhood, from our childhood and all the people around our lives, that we never got a chance to really express our feelings. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Is it anxiety? I mean, even for the younger kids, I think it's anxiety that it's built inside of you as a self-esteem issue to begin with. You know, even I work a lot with teens, and they are constantly worrying about what everybody else is thinking. And
yeah.
to be vulnerable to that same crowd is devastating.
And that's pretty much the bullying, too. That causes social isolation. See, what happened, Tempe Council came to us and said, you know, we would like to talk to you about a Connector Award and award you guys for what you're doing with the Differently Abled Network. And so what is that? I think my voice is carried enough. So what we did is we looked at social isolation and loneliness, as most of our competitor agencies are looking at it, as something that is confined to the elderly. But what I found out in the research, in my own personal research and through the years, is that it actually, our perception of social isolation and loneliness actually becomes a disabling situation for us, okay? Our ability to communicate with each other, to be in the midst of all those people and not be able to say, hi, can I talk to you for a minute? Cup of coffee? It happens in the workplace, right? Okay. Barb. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry. Doug, I want to get with you because I know you.
I find that the average person, if you can hold
you've got to stop one of those soft, sexy voices, okay? Okay. I didn't get it in the lap.
You can have a conversation almost with anybody. I guess that's one reason why I never feel isolated, because I can walk into a crowd of people and find somebody to talk to and relate things with. I've done a lot of traveling, and when I get to a new city, I don't know anybody, but people are willing to talk if you are.
If you get out of the house. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I was saying that to
right.
you before. That's
mm-hmm.
part of the problem with our internalization, I think, because when we get lonely and those feelings start coming in, we don't get out of the house.
Okay, that's it. And now let me throw something else in the wrench, in the mix here, is that when you have a diagnosed disability that has limitations on your mobility, on your ability to get around and travel, so now if you already were predisposed, and I think you kind of like brought out, like in something in your childhood, okay, kind of predisposes you, makes you vulnerable. That was the word. I'll feel lonely and isolated no matter where I am,
mm-hmm.
even with 12 siblings around me. Is that right, Mary?
Possibly.
Yeah, right. And so when you're disabled, and I don't mean just disabled mentally or learning disabled or the non-visible ones, because they can hurt too. Yeah, I know people with fibromyalgia that are isolated, that are decided that. But here it is. That isolation starts early. I think hit it right here in our differently abled network. It's not all of a sudden when you acquire a disability, like myself, have a car accident, and that causes you to feel this sense of isolation. It's a lot of our interaction with other people, okay, and most importantly, our perception. And we talk a lot about perception in the network, okay? And I think that's a big issue. Any comments?
Yeah, well, that's what I think you were trying to hit at, you know,
mm-hmm.
that when you're sometimes, especially when you're disabled, you come
okay.
in a room
mm-hmm.
and you need people to move the chairs around.
Yeah.
And perhaps
a mobility disabled.
Away.
Mobility disabled.
Yes,
yes.
Mobility
okay.
disabled.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you go can be a challenge, even regardless of the strides that we've made
mm-hmm.
to try to accommodate, disabilities,
mm-hmm.
it's still a big challenge. And for somebody who has, what is that childhood thing? Is it autism?
Yes, it's
when
autism.
When they
mm-hmm.
see the world kind of, you know, differently, I think when we get to that point of loneliness, I think even if we're disabled or not, we still see the world that way.
Okay, now let's talk about that for a minute, because when you use the word disabled,
mm-hmm.
most people assume that we're talking about those in the wheelchairs, right? Okay, So we know at the Differently Abled Network, we're talking about a heck of a lot more than that. We're talking about people with learning, mental, the non-visible disabilities for sure. The ones that people say, you don't look disabled. I think you almost alluded to that a little bit. Did you allude to that a little bit? Like, you know, people looking at you and say, you know, you don't look disabled and you certainly don't look lonely. And, you know, a lot of people call me an extrovert. But I have dealt with my own loneliness and isolation, especially being that I was in a nursing home for 5 of the 7 years of my recovery from a car accident. So I felt that isolation, but I also recognized that isolation was because I wasn't very open to talking to people, okay, before that. Okay, I could talk about scientific things, psychology, all the academic things, but I very rarely spoke to somebody about my personal feelings. Now, when I was laying in a hospital bed and I could not talk, that those issues came back up for me again. And now the friends that I had that I talked to on an academic and professional level, okay, no more did they want communication with me. So I automatically became isolated. But the psychological isolation begins first. Don't you agree? The emotional isolation from that early childhood. So how do we identify those that need our help? We're going to put that near the computer because we're going to get the people on the sound machine in the studio there to speak. Okay?
Just touching base with that, you know, about the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Most of you know that I work in a skilled nursing facility, and that just happened Friday, where I said to the woman, are you going to go eat in the dining room? Because I'm bringing her back from her doctor's appointment. Those people don't like me. Well, why don't you think they like you? Well, they're a different kind of people. I said, what do you mean, those Scottsdale people?
Yeah.
it's in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. And I think what she was trying to say was that she was poor and they were
And that was all her perception, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm disabled, so I don't know what I can do to associate with other disabled people.
Right.
Okay. And then what does that really mean? What kind of disabled, what does disability look like? We always talk about that. Don't we talk about that all the time, Doug? You know, what does disability look like? Our callers on the phone, do you have any comments that you'd like to share? Hello? Any comments that you'd like to share about how you're feeling about why people don't admit that they're lonely and why it leads to social isolation? Anybody on the line right now? Are we missing something? Are we missing something? What are we missing?
Okay,
and this is
that's Jackie.
Okay.
Oh, that I don't know who that is.
Okay. Hello. How are you?
Yeah.
I think we have someone here. 347. Hello there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Oh, yeah, Tom. I'm on a conference call. I don't know how you got in there, probably because. My phone, but I'm going to have to hang up with you, okay?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
Okay. Unless you want to listen in for a little while.
Oh, yeah,
but.
Sure he does. Sure he does. Okay.
All right, sweet, I'll call you back, all right? Bye. That's fun.
We'll get his comments in a minute. But, yeah, that's what I get stuck on. And so we're going to do a presentation on the 23rd of this month, and we're going to be talking about social isolation and loneliness, and they want us to expand more with our Differently Abled Network into looking at ways that we can help combat that in our communities, okay? So I think that we already came up with a couple of good ideas to look at, and that is, you know, identifying people that maybe, or at least understanding that there's some predisposition, some vulnerability to feeling lonely. Go ahead.
If you don't have a lot of money, you would feel also maybe less than and not mm-hmm. able to reach out to somebody that has more. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, maybe somebody wants to take you out to lunch and, mm-hmm. and you don't have the money to, you know, to pitch in or anything, that you might feel kind of, you know, like you're taking something that you shouldn't be taking.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that you brought that up because recently, one of our members went to a situation where he was homeless, and he went to an agency, and in that agency, he got an opportunity to see other veterans and the challenges that they were going through with isolation and loneliness and all of that. And their inability to communicate with people was based a lot on economics. They don't understand me in my homeless situation. Okay? Now, you can relate to that, can't you, Doug? The veterans feeling this sense of, you know, the veterans that are facing the homelessness and isolation, because that's a big thing. We have did you know our suicide rate now?
No.
Our suicide rate has gone up over 22 a day. In case anyone's interested out, 22 a day. As a matter of fact, the last figure, Sergeant Dave Thickman, one of our members of the program, the Business Education Training Sponsorship Program, has told us that it's up to 28 a day now. So here's my question. Now we go back to the original thing about how we deal with feel isolated and lonely in a big crowd of people. But here we have someone going over, takes an oath to fight for our country, and comes back home and deals with isolation and loneliness enough so that it leads them to put a gun to their head and blow their head off. Okay? These are people who, like myself, I had that M16 in my hand, and when I left the military,
Steve, are you there?
I was on 10. Okay, hello?
That's Stephen Jack.
Okay, good, Steve. I was on cloud 10. I don't know about you guys. How about you, Doug, when you finish basic training? I mean, you're pretty much on cloud 10, right? I mean, you've got superhero power and everything, right?
Yeah.
So here we go with another issue that we need to address in the Differently Abled Network is how you can have it, pretty much have it all together, and all of a sudden you land up on the streets in a tent, not only socially isolated, psychologically isolated, and spiritually isolated, economically isolated, so many different things. Okay.
Didn't we bring that up too before, that when they put you in the Army, you family, you know, they throw you in a bunk with 20 or so people. I mean, you'll have to
correct
me on that.
More like 60, 100.
That's great. I love Army, but and then all of a sudden you're released. You're a hero. You're this. Mm-hmm. You're that. You served your country. And you come out and you're, you know, like none of those people are there.
So a lot of isolation, I'm not sure why that's doing that.
Okay.
A lot of isolation we can face in our present environment, We can't always go back. I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Everybody that comes to our Differently Abled Network meeting is not going to want us to go back in their childhood and do a therapeutic session. Okay? Right? Okay. How do we get people to understand this is where we start now? Okay, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling like your disability separates you from other people, okay, whether it's a visible disability or a non-visible disability, then we invite you to join our Differently Abled Network. We are so proud to say that we are here at Interfaith Community Spiritual Center in Mesa, Arizona. And this is the first faith-based organization that is and recognize the importance of us having a Differently Abled Network meeting. We thank you very much for joining us today, and we're going to sign off now. We have some more things that we want to wrap up in our Differently Abled Network meeting, so make sure that you check us out on whiteappleinstitute.org and go to our website and fill out a contact form, okay? So thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you so much. Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. Steve, we can still talk now. I just wanted to make sure we ended the show appropriately because it's on the timer. You have something that you wanted to say about loneliness and isolation? Hello?
Yeah, I do, Steve.
Did you hear what I asked you? Oh God, we have a really good person who can really talk a little bit about isolation and loneliness. Give her time. No, okay, all right, okay. Hello, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, well we're gonna close. I can't seem to get you on the mic right now. Jackie, do you have anything you wanted to say?
No, not at this time.
Yeah, a lot of a lot of people, I believe, because coming out of the service, you know, you had all the camaraderie, and then all this, you don't know who to trust. And so a lot of people are very reluctant to talk to somebody until, you know, they know somebody a little bit better. And because some instances, they have been burnt by somebody taking advantage of their trust.
Yeah, and you've got a good point there. The hurt, the grief, that's what I thought we were just going to address a moment ago, is that there's so many things that separate from other people. You know, like we had someone today speak about the death of a child, okay? And automatically, I mean, if their whole environment is around people with children, growing up with 12 siblings around you, you have all these people around you, and maybe somebody doesn't pay attention to you. What about those that grew up in an environment where everybody pays attention to you when you're growing up, and then you land up with no one paying attention to you? That same concept that you talked about a moment ago about, and here he is, the superhero. Superhero.
And I think he is reiterating that in a different perspective, and coming from him, you can definitely relate to what he's talking about, because
right.
even like you said before, the trust issue was something I didn't even think about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many broken marriages, broken families, broken, you know, just even relationships with a sister or a family member, something like that. So now you don't even want to be talking to anybody else anymore, because, you know, you just don't want to even go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how that affects PTSD, but I'm sure it's not.
Oh, it does.
It does.
It exacerbates it tremendously.
Yeah.
If someone is already prone to depression, you know, automatically that's the pathway to your. I'm so conditioned to feeling bad most of the time anyway, so why not? Why do I want to come out of this? This is a comfort zone for me.
Right.
You know, every day I can wake up and I can say, you know, when somebody says, "How are you doing today?" You know, and they can say, and you can say, "Oh, well, I feel like shit." Okay, or I don't feel like anything. I don't feel anything. I'm just down. You can relate to that. Okay, what do you do to pick yourself up? Okay, well, one of them is that you contact us, the Differently Able Network. We have great people here that will talk, that want to talk, that want to share their life story with you. Okay, and so the whole thing right now is that as we close with this, I want to make it clear that we're talking about being disabled by our perceptions again. Okay? So our perception of loneliness, our perception of what is isolation, is what disables us, our ability to communicate. Any further comment? Because we're off. This is just us.
Is this just?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
talked about suicide. People who've been in the service and been in situations where they've had to endure all kinds of shootings and all this other stuff do have trauma. And so the question that keeps running through my mind is, what are the things that need to be done so that the VA will start dealing with these people and not just tell them, "Well, we don't have medications. You haven't done this. You haven't done that." That puts them in a box.
Right.
With no source of help coming from anybody because they don't have it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
The VA needs to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really needs to go with, you know, you are in essence helping people commit suicide. Because you
So you mean, that's something that I really, really, I appreciate you saying that. Because every time that I heard this lady on the phone, on the news, speaking about the homeless that are in tents all around the city hall in San Francisco, okay, and that they're actually, that they're pooping on the streets, they don't have, you've heard it.
I've seen it.
Yeah, right, seen it. Okay, and And so are these people isolated? Absolutely. Because some of them actually are students. They have degrees. They have been engineers, nurses, librarians. They have had good jobs, blue-collar jobs, and they landed up in a situation where they not only the isolation started after they lost the job, but that's what we all want to think, isn't it? That the loss of the job is what did it. No, that exacerbated it. It's not the loss of the child that did it. That's not what exacerbated it.
Well, it's also another issue from the bus stop. I can tell you that there was one gentleman, hero. I mean, he told me the whole story. I can't remember that part right now. But what he said was, I stay away from people now because of my PTSD, because I don't want to hurt anybody anymore.
Ah.
And that was another thing that we had brought up with that criminal thing.
Yeah, when we talked about criminals.
And I hope we
can
do that for
people
the next show.
People perceive themselves as criminals. Yeah.
Well, not only even that, but the actual criminals. And I'm hoping that, what was that name, Timothy Penna?
Ghazi Muhammad.
Ghazi and Timothy Penna, the one that sent
the yes.
And if we can include the gentleman that presented here today, I think that would make ground for a fabulous show.
Okay.
There were people who were trying to build small little houses to put on the street so people could stay there.
The tiny homes?
We have those here.
And
the
city and everybody else said, no, you can't do this. But then they haven't done anything. And that's what bothers me, is because they have decided not to address the situation that now is out of control. I mean, when I went down toward all of those places that you find them, it's overwhelming because they have no place to go. And there are, different kinds of organizations that are trying to do that. But if they don't have the money, then their influence just goes a little way. And I think that it needs to, I don't know who's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We
are.
No, you're going to help the veterans.
Right.
I'm talking about
we're
going to
help people with
who
disabilities.
Needs
yes.
to go and help the city and all these other people who have a responsibility.
And they make the money to do it.
They have the money.
I think the best thing is to promote the aspect of we will take you as you are. To walk in from the street or whatever it is, if you're ready, because that's a big part too. Somebody has to be ready to make that change out of loneliness. Because we must remember, they get comfortable with it, like you said, and they don't want to make the change. It's kind of like when you're going on a diet, and it's like, okay, I want to be skinny, but I don't want to give up my chocolate chip cookies. So what am I going to do? I'm going to keep eating my chocolate chip cookies, and I'll see you later.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I when you started talking about it, the vets do something. They do have the mindfulness training on their website.
Yes.
But that's why Danita put me in this white upper wellness. And while I'm not professional at it yet, what I'm learning is that that's what it takes for the mind to change. For you to stop thinking in the past. For you to start thinking about
at least the present.
Right. And just take one step at a time. It might be homelessness. It might be anxiety. It might be weight. It might be smoking. It might be drugs, God forbid.
Right.
You know? But if we can do it in little steps. If you take on one challenge at a time and stick with people that are going to support you.
Yeah. Now, there's something there's a very good point there, but there's something else that we're missing with that concept, too.
There's a book that I've read about, the Native Americans. When they were big, patriotic. When they went to war, they went to war. When they came back, their culture had a ceremony for them, a re-entry program, where they welcomed them back and they had to, all that stuff that they were trained to, just be killers. Then they came back and they were untrained. And that was the way that they...
You just hit on it.
Right.
You just hit on it. Changed the culture shock.
Yes. But it doesn't happen here. They just toss them out and say, you know, deal with it. My father was a, you know, he was in World War II, and there's letters also that I've got when his sister died. We got some letters that she had written, they had written back and forth, and he said, don't read this to anybody. Don't let anybody read this. And, of course, after she died, we got them, and they were just horrible, horrible things that he did not want to talk about. He did not want anybody to know that he had done, you know. And
you mean as far as killing?
That's the part where, like, you don't want to talk to somebody about all those horrible things, even though you need to do something with that.
That's that baby, like that baby thing in Vietnam when they went in there and killed.
Well, you're a baby killer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
Vietnam,
take it even deeper. Go a little bit further back. People have these feelings about, you know, I don't want to associate. I'm in a bad place right now, but I don't have anybody around me that I can really talk to. So let's put our efforts, because I'll tell you something very, very honestly. I don't know. I was in question about whether or not this differently able network should go forward, should continue. And I have been in a deep prayer about it. And just in the fact that just a few of us are here, because I live by a philosophy, and somebody made me a starship. Okay, a starfish. Is it starfish?
Oh, the one that they throw back in the ocean?
Right.
Remember that story about, I made a difference to that one.
And so even if it's Susanna or Doug or myself, myself, I'm still growing and learning.
Yeah.
Okay? With all of us, that somehow in talking about this openly, that we are able to grow, learn from each other, and then hopefully share with others, so that we can help them and in some way feel good that we're making an impact that's going to reduce the rates of suicide, reduce the rates of isolation and loneliness.
Even if I save that one.
Huh?
Even if I save that one.
Yeah, even if I save just that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like to leave you with that today, you know, is that our next meetings are coming up. We have a real big meeting coming up on November 12th, which is where we're going to kick off the Vets on Vets program, which means basically we'll be sponsoring veterans that are dealing with homelessness, chronic homelessness, loneliness, isolation, all of those issues. That does not mean that any person with disability is not welcome to come to that gathering. So we do have your information?
No, I didn't get that yet.
Okay, right. Make sure we get all of her information. And if you'd like to talk to me on a more private level, that's fine too. Okay, all right? Okay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Where is this going to be? Yeah.
November the 12th is, I had this tremendous calendar of events, and of course, you know, I had to come to the reality. That's really what I love to do ideally, but it's not going to happen, you know. And so November 12th, we're going to go ahead, we're waiting for the VA, the actual hospital, to give us 7th Street in Indian School.
Oh, no, Veterans is the 11th.
Okay.
Oh, Veterans Day is the 11th,
right.
Yeah, but we're doing it on the 12th Tuesday,
right. Okay.
Because on the 8th Friday, we have a commitment with the Veterans Medical Leadership Council at Biltmore.
So that's in Phoenix.
Right, it's in Phoenix, and our address is 3rd Street and Indian School. 3rd Street and, yes, okay, one moment. 3rd Street and Indian School, and so but it's a very small space that we have there, so we asked the VA to give us space for this particular program, okay? And what we'll be doing basically is going out. I'm gonna get to you just a moment, please. We're gonna be going out in the community and saying, people, would you please knock on a business door and ask them why they don't give a veterans discount of at least 5%? Why don't you recognize that's a beginning, okay? Because going out and telling them, oh, we want to talk about isolation and loneliness and the psycho-spiritual aspect, nobody's gonna want to listen to us,
right.
Okay? But this is some down to earth stuff.
If they have a veterans discount.
Yes.
If not, then why not?
Well, I can tell you, Tempe Council, Mesa Chamber, people are interested in what we're talking about stopping people from burning out and dropping out of school, work, and life, and being productive in their communities. And so we're leading the way with involving a faith-based organization for actually the first time. A community-based organization is involved with a faith-based organization to do this kind of outreach work. So we are pretty much the model. Thank you so much.
What time on the 12th?
Okay. Did you have something that you wanted to say, Steve? Go ahead.
What time on the 12th?
County on the
what time on the 12th?
T-I-M.
Oh, on the November 12th, it's 1 to 5 p.m. Okay, and you'll get 1 to 5. Right, right. Okay, so Jackie is with us now. She'll make sure everybody gets some kind of notice that they'll know where to come to and what to do. And, of course, my daughter, Miss Hunter, she's working on it. Okay, so we'll have the logistics. Melody's helping with the PowerPoint. We have a number of people helping with a PowerPoint that we only have 10 minutes, okay, to actually get this message out that we did today. And we didn't even touch the iceberg of this.
No, but we got a good start, I think.
We got a good start,
yeah,
and a little bit of this video. Oh, yeah, we need to get a publicity release so it's okay. Well, I know we have one on YouTube.
Yeah, I can email you one.
Okay, good.
Because once they look at it.
We don't use it for anything commercial. It's totally charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's my phone. It said it's full, and my recording stopped working. These are our technology problems when we are... what do you call us? Grassroots, nonprofit. I know nothing about these terms, okay? I may have been here since the beginning, like I was telling you before, but I worked in New York for many years when you just pushed a button and things worked.
Uh-huh.
Here, it's like, who's pushing the button?
Right.
Me. Wait.
I'll keep that. Oh, I did that on the train.
Oh,
I'm like, oh my goodness, what did I do here? Yeah, the technology
and
is really...
I know. Now, I'm not even a legal secretary anymore. I'm a bus driver.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been out of this whole loop and technology.
Yes.
Jackie, can you hear us?
No.
I'm not sure.
Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you guys.
Cool.
It's fine.
She's the technology person
right
now, but she's on the other end
of town.
Phone
yeah
call,
right.
You know? So we count on her
yeah
to do the other side, but I mean...
And we have Dr. Bev. Dr. Bev is,
yeah,
is one
well
of our board members.
Well, we need
everybody members,
here.
You know. Right. That's why we need to get them to make sure that everybody comes.
Talk to do this.
And that we also have the board. But again, today, I really was very careful on sending out a lot of advertisement because I knew
that
we were going to have some challenges, you know. So I hope you... I think I did register you. No, maybe I didn't. Okay, okay.
It's not working.
We just need a representative from Interfaith, representative, and hopefully Reverend Julianne.
And Miriam was in legal.
Oh, Miriam's going to be there, yes.
So we have
to be there.
Yeah. And we have, I think even just from listening to this, we have an to Tempe Council.
Yes. You see all the different areas that,
yeah,
that came out.
Yeah.
I came up to about the 12, going up in that environment.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I was going to bring up, but I got, comes up with Bob Williams. Here's somebody who you think is wonderful, marvelous. You know, or even Whitney Houston.
We're going to have two pictures of Whitney Houston and Ronnie.
Because it's two different pictures, people that you admire.
I'm going to end the episode. Jackie, I'm going to end the episode, okay? We're still recording, I think. No, we're not recording.
We're not recording because we stopped. Even my phone.
No, okay.
Oh,
bye-bye
now. It's just recording,
not,
okay.
Maybe it's not
viewing.
It's not
recording.
Okay,
okay,
I'm going to X out now. Okay. Thank you for joining us.
All right.
For helping us wait. Thank you for joining us. Sorry we couldn't get more, Tom.
Even like,
okay. Jackie, can you call Tom and just let him know? We're sorry we couldn't get that thing together. And I'll call you a little later on this afternoon, okay?
You know? But yet I
all righty.
You know,
okay.
Because I still have the rest of the day. Yeah, that's right. And then 12.